The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. This is News on the Dot. Today is Monday, May 9, 2022. Mexico's President Andrés Manuel López Obrador wound up this Monday his first official visit to Cuba, where he received the José Martí Order, the country's highest distinction. During his stay, López Obrador laid a wreath at the José Martí Memorial in the Revolution Square in Havana and held official talks with the Cuban head of state, who thanked the Mexican nation for its historic support against the blockade imposed by the United States on the Caribbean nation. Both presidents also signed a bilateral agreement that represents the bonds of brotherhood between the two countries and will allow the intensification of labor exchanges in areas such as education, sports, culture, and human resources, training, among others. The ties between Cuba and Mexico date from more than a century ago, and it is noteworthy that Mexico was the only Latin American nation that did not break off relations with the Caribbean country after the United States pressured the governments of the region to isolate the young Cuban revolution after the January 1, 1959 victory. The search for possible survivors in the basement of the Saratoga Hotel in Cuba that suffered the effects of a strong explosion when a liquefied gas tanker was serving its facilities continues after over 43 hours of uninterrupted work by joint forces, said Alexis Acosta, mayor of Old Havana. So far, the number of deceased is 34 and 85 wounded. Acosta explained through national television the complexity of the actions due to the high volume of debris in the entire hotel area after the impact of the explosion, which caused the collapse of the structures of the second, third, and fourth floors. Colonel Luis Carlos Guzgan, head of the fire department, explained to Prensa Latina they have the necessary human and material resources to undertake the work required in this type of disaster, but care must prevail because there are flooded areas. The hospital centers of the province, since the very moment of the sinister, gave immediate attention to the wounded, while several health institutions received thousands of people who came to donate blood. The Caribbean island also receives expressions of support and solidarity from governments, friends, and organizations abroad. The application of the Cuban-made Soberana Plus booster dose on ages between 12 and 18 is ongoing in Cuba. According to statements to Prensa Latina by Dagmar Garcia, director of research for the Finley Vaccine Institute, the decision to proceed with the new inoculation is based on the evidence provided by the Soberana Pediatrics clinical trial. In Garcia's words, the study proved that 6 to 7 months after receiving the complete vaccination scheme, this age group experiences a slight decrease in antibody levels. Garcia recalled how Cuba managed to be the only country in the world that began the school year on November 15th last year with all its children over 2 years of age vaccinated against SARS-CoV-2. According to Garcia, the campaign demonstrated the safety of the Cuban product, as more than 5 million doses were applied without reports of serious adverse effects described by the World Health Organization as of special interest, as in the case of other vaccines such as myocarditis or pericarditis. And in the international agenda, we have that the National Coordinator of Indigenous Peoples of Panama, CONAPIP, reiterated its commitment to defend and protect their territories threatened by illegal occupations by settlers. In a statement on its most recent Ordinary General Assembly, held in the community of La Bonga and Berá Wounan Collective Land in the Caribbean region of Chagres, CONAPIP denounced that illegal logging of forest produces an increase in the deforested area. This activity, they affirmed, is carried out indiscriminately and complicitly with public officials who respond to private interests in connection with institutions such as the Ministry of Environment, the National Land Authority, and the Ministry of Government itself. The 12 highest authorities of the Congresses and Councils that make up CONAPIP committed themselves to redouble their efforts for the highest priority issue for their peoples, which is territorial security. Meanwhile, peace in Colombia is one of the transversal axes of the government program proposed by historical pact candidate Gustavo Petro on Monday if he wins the May 29 presidential elections. On his Twitter account, Petro is assured that if he becomes the president of his South American nation, he will initiate the comprehensive peace process with all actors of violence and propose a great pact of society for coexistence. According to the programmatic platform of the Historical Pact Coalition, violence against peace signatories will cease and they will implement what has been agreed in its entirety with support of the whole society and the international community. Petro also considers necessary to reach a peace agreement with the National Liberation Army, taking into account the lessons learned from the final peace agreement with the former Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unites us.